Good morning. Welcome. Good. So this morning I want to talk about something that I think surely have touched all of our lives to some extent and even sometimes more. The thing I want to talk is the impact of fear. The impact of fear. And I think, like I say, if I ask questions and I'll start asking, who have a story about somewhere where you were in fear? Most of us will have some story that we can share. So I want to talk, obviously that have impact in our lives. So how do we handle it? And what tools does God give us to handle those kind of things? Now I must say, if I say the impact of fear, when it comes to the Bible, we talk about two kinds of fear. We talk that fear where you are scared of something, okay? And that's the one I want to talk about. And then obviously we have what we call the fear of God. But that is not a bad fear. That's a good fear, if I can say. And the synonyms for that fear is more a reverence for God or awe of God or who He is. And that's a good fear, if I can say it like that. So I want to talk about the negative, I'm scared kind of fear. A definition that they say about fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. Alright. So it's obviously something that disrupts my normal way of doing things and putting me in a position where I want to run away. I don't want to be. And that is fear. But sometimes it is not just a physical threat, like you walk, come around the corner and there's a dog that all of a sudden starts barking at you. It can also be an emotional fear. Fear of losing loved ones. Fear of not knowing how I'll handle the sickness or those kind of fears. All of those things is things that have an emotional. Interesting, when I read this, I just Googled definition of fear. That it's an unpleasant emotion that is caused by something. So we need to realize it's something that happens in my heart, something that happens in my, not just physically, but also in my emotion, and it has an effect. And interesting thing that we need to understand from the beginning, fear is not from God. We need to understand. That is something that the enemy used to break down people. And we know the scripture in John 10, verse 10 that says, the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And but Jesus came to give life and life in abundance. So obviously this is then something that the enemy will use so much, fear. Because he can kill, steal, and destroy. And that can be again physically, emotionally, and spiritually in our lives where he can use that to kill, steal, and destroy. I just quickly want to look at some of the effects. Interesting. If I start off, first of all, physically, when we have fear in our lives, and like I said, it can be anything, not just being afraid of the dark, but I think sometimes more that fear of what will happen if I lose my job, what will happen if I don't have enough money one day for retirement, or whatever fears people might face. The first of all thing that it has an effect, it is quite disturbing, obviously, in our hearts. But it has a physical effect. I'm going to read some things that I found that was quite interesting. First of all, it has on our physical health. It says, fear weakens our immune system and causes cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems such as ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, a decreasing fertility. It can lead to accelerated anxiety, even premature death. So, I mean, that's obviously the extreme now of those things, but I think we have to see that fear have a physical effect on our lives. And it can go all the way up to death at the end of the day. And I think at some stage I said, I can't understand how people can commit suicide. But then I've come to realize if you don't have Jesus in your life, and whatever problems and things you might face in the world, those things can look so big and so serious that obviously people can come to a point where they say, I don't need. And that's also fear in a way. it was interesting for me that they don't fear death at that stage, but they fear all these other things, and it's actually bigger than that. Then what it does to our memory. Fear can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain, such as hippocampus. This can make even more difficult to regulate fear and can leave a person anxious most of the time. To some, in chronic fear, the world looks scary and their memories confirm that. Okay, so even then on our memory and on our brains, it has an effect because it builds those things. And if people are constantly living in fear, let's say it's an abusive husband or whatever work situation where they're in, where they're not accepted, then in a way they live in fear constantly. And then they have to learn how to cope. And that has an effect even on the physical brain, how we think, and the things that is happening with that. Another thing is brain processing and reactivity. All of a sudden, you cannot think straight because you are consumed by this fear and this thing the whole time, and constantly in your mind, you're busy like, but what if that happened? What? How will I handle this situation? And how is this going to work out? And you are consumed by that thing. Now, immediately, if we think again of John 10, verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, the enemy starts taking hold now of your life. Because you're not in charge of it anymore. And obviously, if Jesus is not in charge of it, then that fear actually becomes. And we need to realize, obviously, it's some demonic thing sometimes because that's how they operate. And that is what they do. And they come and bring that disturbance. Extreme then obviously is mental health at the other side. Other consequences of long-term fear include fatigue, clinical depression, and PTSD. Alright, so those are the extreme cases with that can come, but it is a reality. Does that mean that we are not supposed to have fear in our lives at all, and that fear is just negative? Fear is also positive in a way, in the sense of it helps us when we stand on a high building. You know, that fear of falling off is a good thing because in a way it protects us as well. Or just running into the sea or whatever kind of things there is. So there's a place for that. But that thing is then there to protect us and not to rule our lives and to take over. Okay. Now, let's just see what is the spiritual impact when we have fear in our lives. And it can be any kind of thing. First of all, fear closes our spiritual ears. Because you are so much consumed by this thing and you don't want to allow Jesus to come into our lives and take control of our lives, then we cannot hear God's voice because you're constantly busy with, but what if this happens? How is this going to work? What will I do here? So it closes our spiritual ears. Okay? The second thing, it prevents us from reading Bible and from praying. Because in a way, you don't believe that those things can be a solution or an answer. You're looking for other kinds of stuff. And you want to build your security on whatever other things is. And that's what the enemy is doing, so that you don't turn to God and you don't go and ask Him, but okay, please help me with this. Please give me advice. Please let me put my faith. Because the opposite of fear is faith, okay? Because then I believe in something that will help me out of this situation. And it is not fear then, okay? So first of all, it closes our spiritual ears. It prevents us from reading Bible and praying. It creates opportunities for the enemy to keep us in bondage, okay? It creates opportunities for the enemy to keep us in bondage because that's where he wants to hold us. So that we cannot be free or come free from anything. And he will pour petrol on the fire, like they say, especially when I want to try and do something that will prevent that, so that he can bring more fear. Because the thing is, the moment the enemy keeps us in fear, he has a control over us. And we need to realize that. And that's why you will do anything possible to bring even more fear on top of that fear, or and discourage us whenever we want to do. And that's why obviously it's difficult to read Bible. It's difficult to pray because that's not a solution for you at that stage. So in that comes a blindness that holds us as well. Okay. And next thing is then, it makes us only focus on ourselves and our needs. Because I must try and get out of this situation, and what is going to happen with me now? And how can I get loose of this? And you understand, it starts to consume you, and you're just busy with yourself the whole time, apart from focusing on God. And if you cannot focus on God, obviously God cannot work through you so that you can help other people and be busy with other people. So that thing really comes and it starts to put a hedge around you, actually, in a way. It's like a cloud almost that covers you. And now we see it as a physical effect, it has a spiritual effect, and also on my brain that I cannot see actually the result in that. Okay, so those are just for this. A lot more things that can happen, but those four things was for me quite important. So how do I stand against fear? Because I have to be ways out of this, isn't it? First thing is, I think it's like most addictions, actually, you have to recognize it in your life and realize, I have fear in my life, or this thing is consuming me so much. So first of all, the first step is you have to recognize it. Then you have to find the root. In other words, you have to find out, where did this thing happen? Where did the enemy come into a situation and he opened a spiritual door in my life to get that grip? And then you have to pray and say, sometimes the people immediately know. I was small and we went to visit people and there was a big dog and the dog was barking in my face and I could see already how the dog bites me, and that opened a door for fear. And for the rest of my life, I was just always afraid of whatever situation there might be. Simple things like people who are scared of the dark. It was maybe, you know, these days with load shedding, we have many opportunities for that. You on the other side of the house and it's load shedding too, all of a sudden, and then you start screaming, looking for mom and dad, and it takes them a minute or two to get a torch or whatever is going on. And it's simple things. And we must realize the enemy will use the smallest thing just to get an opportunity to get into our lives. He doesn't need big things. He doesn't need to be a big car accident or whatever. Those things obviously he uses as well. But remember, the Bible says he walks around like a prowling lion, looking for anything that he can just use. And the moment, and then what is interesting, remember, our words have power. So many times we will speak it out. Oh, it's dark, I'm scared. And that's just right there where he says, or I didn't get my salary this month. I don't think things will not work out. Or we speak the negative, and the moment we speak that negative, he's right there to grab it and to say, okay, but now I've got you. And then I'm going. So first of all, I have to recognize that there is fear in my life. Then I have to say, but where is the root? Where did it come from? Because it's like a tree. You know, if we see the fruit on the tree as a problem, and you keep on spraying things on the fruit, and you polish the leaves, or you do whatever, but meanwhile, somebody is pouring petrol on the roots and not water on the roots, the problem is actually down there. So you have to find that root so that you can solve the fruit or the symptoms that we actually see of that. So that's the important thing. With that comes the third thing. We need to recognize situations that triggers the fear. So you have to avoid those kind of things. If you are scared of the dark, obviously you have to realize, but okay, let me not get into situations that will put me in the dark, or I'm scared of whatever situation, but those things that normally is the trigger for that thing to happen. Obviously, we need to realize that, and then we need to combat that in a way that we work against it, to plan ahead of time if I'm scared of the dark, so that I know. They said 9 o'clock. These days I see they switch it off on time, isn't it? Don't switch it on time, but they switch it off on time. So if you know it's like 7 o'clock tonight, then maybe walk around with your cell phone that I have a light on or a torch or a whatever. So the trigger so that I don't get into those situations. And then obviously we need to take up our authority in Jesus. And I think this is where it comes, because fear comes from the enemy. It's not a God thing. Then we need to say, but okay, I have power over that in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says in Luke 10 verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And we know those snakes and scorpions is the devil and demons. So he will use those negative things. Then I have to stand up in my authority in that. And it helps. At some stage we were staying at a place and there was this, one of these small little white dogs. And my daughter was about 6-7 years old. And he will always come, woof, 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 and he storms you, and it's, I mean, he's not really going to do something, but for a little child, then it was quite scary. And I remember the one day he came, and she was, normally she's with us, but at that stage she was alone, and he came, and somewhere she remembered what we said, and she said, stop, in the name of Jesus! And then he'll be amazed, the dog stopped. And then he turned around and he walked away. You know, and that I saw it from a distance and I realized, but see, you know, in her life at that stage, that was a reality. And you might think it's simple to do something like that, but I mean, it had an effect. I saw it. The dog turned around, stopped barking, and just walked away. So as we recognize the fear in our lives, as we recognize those things, we have to take control of the situation. But see now, what do? We say, in the name of Jesus. So all of a sudden, that self that is consumed is given over actually to Jesus. So you realize there's a power higher than yourself that can help in this situation. Therefore, I start to put my trust, I start to put my faith in God and in this thing and not focus on the fear or the thing that is going to grab us anymore. So that is quite important. Okay. Obviously, I had a look then at some scriptures, and some of them you might know, but yeah, it's amazing. Isaiah 43 verse 1. Isaiah 43 verse 1 that says, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Okay. So, God clearly says, do not fear, I have redeemed you. So God has done something to us and he helped us out of this situation. And then he comes and confirms the amazing things. I have called you by your name, you are mine. So all of a sudden there's a belonging to God. So I belong to God. And I mean, if he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the Almighty Ruler, why do I need to fear anything else if I am his child? I've seen it again with my own children. Sometimes they will be, you can see they in a crowd and they're a bit disturbed and whatever, and then they look for me or my wife, and the moment they see us or they stand here, they're like, okay. And I think it's almost that kind of thing, you know. We need to come and just stand and grab God's leg or arm or sit on his lap or whatever and just realize, I am his, I am here, I am safe, nothing can. That dog is too small now, or this situation is not big enough, or whatever the situation might be. All right. Now, just something interesting. It says, God actually commands us not to fear. Okay? And we'll have a look at some scriptures now. Not to fear or worry. Okay? The phrase, fear not, is more than 80 times in the Bible. It's amazing. Fear not. So many times God encourages us and says, fear not. Do this. Fear not. All these kind of things. So I think God has to put it there so many times that we, but I don't think we read it every day, isn't it? But I mean, it's amazing if you think 80 times, more than 80 times we read in the Bible where it says specifically, not just talks about fear, but where the word is fear not. So that's the command he gives us. Now I'm thinking, like I say, my children are still small, so I have to talk to them many times. Now, if I've said something to them 80 times, I mean, I must be serious and repeating myself. They are obviously a bit disobedient as well, but I have to, you know, I'm serious about that. And this is what God is saying to us. Fear not. He knows, obviously, like I said, that the enemy uses fear to discourage us. and to put us in bondage and to hold us back. And that's why he says it. But with that, obviously, comes the victories, comes the hope that we have in God, so that we can stand against the fear. Okay. I think one of the most well-known scriptures that we know about fear is in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, where it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear." Okay? So very clearly, he comes and he says, "I will not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." Okay? Now, it's interesting again for me, the thing of love, and I will talk about love now, but then, and power and a sound mind. See, earlier what I said, what is fear doing to our brains? What the effect it has on our bodies then? With that, and look what God says. He says, "I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, first of all. Power, because we need power to overcome fear. Okay, you need power in the situation to do those things. And a sound mind." So it's interesting that how that connection happens to what happens actually in our minds and in our brains with that. 1 John 4 verse 18. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love." Okay? So just think about that. We never connect fear actually with love in a way always, isn't it? But it says there is no fear in love. And then it says an amazing thing. It says, "But perfect love casts out fear." That's a strong word, isn't it? To cast out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. That's a scripture the Bible is giving us. Okay, so it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Okay, and because if you think, what is fear doing? Fear is putting us in a bondage. Fear is holding us. So that is actually a punishment, because I walk under that thing the whole time. I'm scared. I don't know how it's going to work out, whatever the situation. And that is actually a punishment that comes. But it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So that is a tool that we can use to stand against fear. First of all, I think to accept the love Jesus gave to us, amazing love and what he did for us on the cross. Because all of a sudden, we don't have to fear things like fear of dying and going to hell. Don't have to fear what will happen to me when I'm dead. Don't have to fear all these things. And I don't have to fear how I will live here on earth because of what he done for me. So, and we need to share that love. And that's why he also says the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give love, life, and life in abundance. And that obviously is connected to love, what he wants to do with us, what he wants to share, what he wants to give to us. Okay. Psalm 34 verse 4. Psalm 34 verse 4 is, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears." Okay, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And, you know, the meaning there of all in the original text means all. Everything. Okay, it's not difficult. So he delivers us from all our fears. Okay, but the first thing I have to do is I have to turn towards God. Put my trust in him, ask him to help me, then he will deliver me from all my fears. So the choice I have to make is that I'm going to give over and put everything in his hands. Does that mean I'm just sitting back now and just leave him and everything is going to work out? No. Obviously, I have to apply the principles. Still do what I need to do. I need to walk in faith. I need to trust in God. I need to pray and read Bible. I need to build a relationship with God. I need to not sin and do the right thing and all those kind of things. So I have a responsibility, but then he's there for me with that. All right. Just a few practical things. And I was thinking I'll even give a opportunity for a question or two when it comes to any of these things. But things, many times I'll talk to people and they say, but the other day I spoke to a person that said to me, I ask, how are you doing? She says, no, good, I'm all right, but I'm very tired. I say, why are you tired? She says, because every night when I sleep, I have dreams that is bad. You see, the words that she used was like, it's like horror, watching horror movies the whole time. I said, every night when you sleep? She says, every night. She says, I don't want to sleep, actually. These things are happening. I said, okay, what is that? That obviously brings fear, because you don't even want to sleep. You don't want to close your eyes, and that has an effect on your, that you're not sleeping, so you're becoming tired, and it affects your whole life in a way. All right? So I was thinking then, okay, I said to her, well, what is the important thing? And I asked, so she realized she has fear, but what is the root? Where does it come from? Okay? And we could handle those kind of things. And then I said, okay, but now God comes and God gives us tools that we can use, like the armor of God. Okay? That is something that protects us. Why do army guys put on bulletproof vests and all these things? It's not because they walk around and they fear the whole time, but they say this is knowledge and wisdom that God gave us, and we can put it on so that because we're going to be exposed to situations where people will shoot at us and people will do kind of things. So that is something that I can use. And then God clearly says, He says, I give you the armor of God to use. And one of the things for our heads is what? The helmet of salvation. Okay. So that was the first thing with that lady. She have never actually accepted Jesus. She thought she was a Christian. She said, I just grew up as a Christian. I always was. But she never came to a point where she accepted Jesus as Savior of her life. So that was the root. So we could pray for that, and that was so beautiful. Now that she accepted Jesus, now all of a sudden the helmet of salvation became a reality for her. And I said, okay, let's pray, let's do this. And then we did that, and I said to her, but now you need to put on the armor of God. And she speak it out, say, Father, I pray, and help me to put on the armor of God. So that evening she went to sleep. The next day I found her and said, how's it going? She said, you know, it was amazing. I could sleep right through the night. Simple thing. So like that. Fear was there the whole time. But because she could apply the principles, accept Jesus, put on the armor of God, all of a sudden the enemy don't have tools and the right to just come into her mind the whole time and just come and bring that fear. And she could sleep, and up to this day, she says these days she's just knocked out. She doesn't even know what is happening. That's how deep she sleeps. And it's a practical thing. Now, if you go on with the armor of God, I mean, then it's obviously helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, also holiness. Holiness is doing the right thing. Righteousness, I always say, God says a breastplate of righteousness, not the breastplate of wrongness. Okay? Because what's the meaning of righteousness? It means to do the right thing, not to do the wrong thing. Because if we do the wrong thing, obviously, again, it opens up doors for the enemy to come in and to do whatever he wants to do. So, and then the rest of armor, which we know the shield is also the shield of faith, which is the opposite of fear. So we need to have those things. We need to hold on to that and to make it practical. I'm thinking on spiritual things. Many times people struggle in their houses. And I heard a story the other day of a testimony of somebody who says the children, when they walked into the house, they said, Mommy, we don't want to be in this house. We're getting sick. Because they struggled with health. And then we could realize, but there is something in the house that is opening up a spiritual door for the enemy to come in to the house. Then you have to take that out. And sometimes people do it because of a lack of knowledge. We know the Bible says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They went to China and they saw this little Buddha statue and thought it's beautiful, and they bought it and brought it in their house and just put it there. And that thing just opened the spiritual door. So then we have to see what is things in our house that we can take out so that the enemy cannot come in and bring that fear. And then we know there's practical things we can do, like if we've cleaned out those kind of things, we can anoint. The same as when the Israelites had to leave Egypt, remember they had to slaughter a lamb, then they had to paint the blood on the doors and the windows. Why was that? Like I said, my children are young, so they watched this DVD of The Prince of Egypt. It's actually a kind of Hollywood animation that they made, but there's quite a few correct things in there as well. And I see this picture of where you see the houses that they've painted, and then you see like this kind of wind coming, and it's like whoop, he comes in front of the door and he sees the blood, and whoop, then he goes to the, and the next one doesn't have the blood, and whoop, he goes in there, and then he comes out. He took the souls of those ones who were not painted and the children. And it's like the same thing. So we need to anoint our houses so that to keep the enemy out. So sometimes if there's fear in that, but now the challenging thing is if there's somebody in the family that creates the fear, like abusive father or whatever, that makes it a bit difficult. But sometimes it's a practical thing. We just have to then chase the enemy out, anoint the windows, anoint the doors, so that we can keep the enemy out. Because then actually we have a double protection. Cannot come into the house, so they cannot come into my room, cannot bring fear and dreams and all these bad things. Alright, so those are practical things that we can have a look at. The other thing is then obviously studying God's Word, reading God's Word, building our faith, because that is like the sword that we have that we are sharpening every day, because the Bible says part of our armor is the Word of God. So if I don't spend time in the Word of God, I don't know what it says, then I don't have a sword to fight the enemy with. I cannot stand against the fear or fight against the fear with that. So that's a practical thing that we have to, because the enemy also knows if we're going to spend time in God's Word, that will build our faith, that will strengthen us, and then we will stand against him. And that's what he doesn't want us to do. So that's a practical thing that we can do. Okay, good. That's in a nutshell everything I want to give you. I hope it helps that we see the reality of that. The good thing is that it's possible for Jesus to help us, that we don't walk in fear. Okay, it's possible. And like I say, again, that doesn't mean, we all somehow get scared at situations or whatever, those are normal things. But when fear begins to rule your life in so many aspects, whatever, that's when we need to handle those things and do that. Okay, good. We are small enough to give opportunity to ask questions if somebody wants to ask a question. Is there any question? Okay. Good. Either I was very boring or I explained it well. I don't know. Okay, but that's wonderful. That's wonderful. What we will do, we will also give opportunity now to pray. If there's somebody who needs prayer concerning this, then we can also pray for that and just ask God to come and help us. But let us pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can acknowledge you as the King of Kings. And what a privilege for us to know that we can come and sit at your feet. We can hold your hand and say, but Jesus, thank you. We put our faith in you. We put our trust in you because you are almighty and you are amazing. And if I stand and hold your hand, I know you are behind me and you cover me. And therefore, we don't have to be afraid or we don't have to have fear in our lives. And therefore, I want to pray and ask, Lord Jesus, come. Come and look in our hearts, and you know our hearts. If there's places where we struggle with fear sometimes, or the enemy gets a hold, Father, thank you today that we can release your faith, that we can release your hand in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that we can stand against that fear in the name of Jesus, because you came to set us free, Father, and we don't have to fall for the tricks of the enemy. But we know that it is also real. And we know it is not so easy when you are in the situation just to do whatever. It's always easy afterwards, Father. But I pray today for your wisdom. I pray for your hand of protection. I pray for the release of your Holy Spirit in our lives more and more, so that we can stand in faith, that we can know the truth, we can follow the truth, and we can seek that. Please, Father, so that your name will be glorified and the enemy don't have an opportunity to come and kill, steal, and destroy in our lives. Thank you, Father, that there is a way out. And thank you that if we walk with you, you will protect us, you will be with us. Even in times when it's tough and times when things are not going easy. Thank you for that. Bless every person, Father, now in the name of Jesus. And thank you that we can glorify you and that we can honor you. We pray this in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As I prayed, I was just thinking of something, that this does not mean fear will be totally destroyed in our lives. Okay? Because we will still be sometimes in scary situations or don't know, whatever. But now I am with my dad. You understand? So because he's there, he can help me to handle the situation. I think because sometimes we have this idea, if we just follow Jesus, everything is going to be perfect. And that is not true. That is not true. He says, in this world, you will have troubles. That's what he said. He says, but though I am with you, and he will walk with us, and he will help us with that. So it will never be perfect. I think it will only be perfect one day when we die and we with Jesus in heaven, yes. But here on earth, but he gives us the assurance that he's there, he's with us, and he will hold us in all of that. Good. Thank you very much. Be blessed. Enjoy the day.